On sermon audio, the day that when he said he's writing to you young men in the book of 1 John, when he said he's writing to the young men because they had overcome the wicked ones, well, that's what the church needs, is a lot of young people to come in the church. You know, the older people, we've gotten old, you know, we don't have the vitality, the strength or whatever, the vigor to staying, and y'all, that next generation, we've become our parents, and now, you know, you got to look gray in your beard, Dad, so you're getting older or whatever, you get children or whatever, your life solidify. But he says, he writing to the young men because they were strong and they had overcome the wicked one, but they had overcome the wicked one by the word of their testimony, but these were more or less obedient until their parents, obedient to the word of God, assuming they had godly parents or whatever. And, you know, I've known you a while there, and, you know, you've always been, you know, you and your father, whatever, you've always seemed obedient to him and respectful to him or whatever. And that's one of the things about life and overcoming Leviathan and overcoming the world. We're talking about Leviathan here, and the Leviathan being the world system, the political system, the system, a gigantuan system. It's up in other words, it's Satan. It was a description of Satan. The 41st chapter of Job is one of the most vivid chapters about a description of the longest chapter of God audibly speaking about Satan that a lot of preachers talk about, and a lot of, it's a disagreement to think in there, you know, what it's about. That's because religion is so intermixed up, you know, so much false religion out there, whatever. And it's respect. You can see a lot of different respect. It's how you move up in the Lord and honoring the system as is. But within this political or this governmental system or the world system we're in, as ambassadors, we don't break the laws of a system. Those laws supposed to be predicated upon God or the moral standards of God, especially in the nation in which we are in. And we have to see that it's a, I've talked about it being a wicked system, of that Satan is the god of this world, and you know, your mind is starting to form, and you're about in your 40s now, 40, 50, okay, well, at 50, you know, that's when my father said I had been and developed a sound mind about 45 or 50, you know, before I develop a sound mind and start thinking rightly or whatever. And you start seeing, when I told you about getting married or whatever, you made an honest opinion or whatever about a lot of the ones you may have had or whatever may have been the right ones, and the problem was you. And I think that was a large statement. I think that was a statement from God, that when we start realizing that we've been the problem, our life, and that we've been the devil, or we've been controlled by this world or influenced by the things of this world, and that's the only way that we could get untangled or unbound from the world, is to be under the power or swayed by the influence of the spirit of something supernatural external to us. And that external thing to us is God. Looking unto God, God draws you and gives you faith, or preaches the word of faith, the believe in his son Jesus Christ, accepting his son Jesus Christ, hearing the words of faith and being born again, his spirit then coming to live and reside within you to lead you and guide you, and by you being obedient to the spirit, obeying the word of God, and going through how the spirit is leading you and listening at others, not forsaking the assembling together of yourselves in a church or a religious system that's believing in Jesus Christ, that believes in him, you can overcome the wicked one. You can overcome this world system. As you overcome this world system, though, you have to realize that this is Satan's word, that Satan is the god of this world, and that we're being shaped and formed in this world. And we see a lot of times when we went in the wrong direction or the wrong way, and we could start seeing these things all about us in nature. And that's where God speaks to most of the unbelievers, or most of the new believers in things, is in nature, in the world that's surrounding us or whatever. And that's why I can't rehash what I went over about Leviathan, the beast or the animal Leviathan, and his ferocity or whatever. But, you know, some men are beasts. Some men are, you can see it if you've been in different situations, you can see where some men are natural brute beasts. They have those characteristics and tendency. And then you start seeing the characteristics of people in the world, that character comes from somewhere. Either it's a godly character, it's an ungodly character. We talk about in our communities. One of the things I look at in my community when I drove up just now, in the parking lot of the church was a dollar store basket. Somebody walked it home from Dollar General Store. One of those things tell me that's one of the reasons prices and things goes up, is because people steal those baskets or walk them away from those stores, don't walk them back to the store. At least when you go back to the general store, the food store, whatever, you done stole the people's basket or used it to bring goods home or whatever. Why don't you walk it back where you got it from or whatever? Those are very costly things. That's all in character, the character of the issue. Second thing is, you're not respecting the church to bring and abandon that up on the church grounds and do that, you know. And then you just walk through the communities and see what communities believe those things or does those things. What ethnic group, what class of people, what are their living standards? Because a lot of things keeps us in poverty. A lot of things keeps us away from God, away from growing in God, because if we apply ourselves in this world system, the world system will reward you. And as you're being rewarded, if you a child of God like Daniel, the three Hebrew children, or whatever, that entered into that world system, even though they didn't bow down and worship as that world system wanted them to do, they was the example of God. They was the example of people following God. The people around them on their jobs and things fought against them or whatever, but the rulers wanted them because they made the best work, or they made the most prosperous work, or that God was blessing the company and the different governments for having them within those governments. But we see when we're against the world and against God, against the church, we kind of on our own island, in our own way. No man could exist as an island by himself. So if you're not in the church of God, you're against God. If you're not with God, you're against God. That follows. But see, because to be with God, you have to continue in his word and obey his word and everything that he say do or whatever. All the characteristics, you have to develop all those characteristics. But if you're not in the church developing those characteristics, you out in the world and you may be advocating a lot of those godly principles or godly conditions or whatever, but you're still not of God or with God, or you don't belong to God, and God won't receive you even though you do that which is good, is that you're not totally committed to God. So you might not advocate a lot of the wrong what the world is doing or whatever. You may not be going along with it or whatever, but you're still not with God. It's a lot of people that go to church. It's a lot of people that do a lot of things that's not fully committed to God. And in the last days, they could say, well, Lord, didn't we go to church in your name? Didn't we feed the needy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? And he said, I never knew you. He never knew them because they didn't develop a fellowship or relationship with him. To develop a fellowship and a relationship with God and his system, he calls you into his system and he develops you. He develops you by obeying His word and walking by faith and believing and trusting in what He says. And that's the system that He's calling you into when He calls you out of the world. The world is Babylon. It's a Babylonian world. It's a Babylonian system. It's a gigantuan system that's set there to deceive and fool you. You've seen the movie The Matrix, huh? The Matrix was where these people were working and being born at. But then when Neo and somebody else came into the Matrix, they was inside the Matrix, but they wasn't of the Matrix. They had been called out of the Matrix, so they was fighting against that system. So when God calls you out of the world, He leaves you in the world. He leaves you in this world, and you're subject to all of the things of the world. You're subject to the governments of the world, the people, and Satan has come down. I'll get to that in just a second. But Satan, since he's been cast down into the earth, he works through people. He works through people now. And you can get entangled in this world, in this world's affairs or whatever, and it'll eat you alive. It's a conglomerate. And so that's why his preachers are continually advocating, come out from the world, don't be friends of the world, and always be aware that Satan is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that every situation, everything you do, may tie you to the world or bring you into bondage to this world, to the things of the world, to this life. Whereas the Spirit of Christ, He's liberating you from the world. He's liberating you from the things of this life. He's giving you eternal life. He's giving you liberty in Him. He's giving you all of these things, but you can't see these things. You're walking by faith, so you just have to trust Him. And along with a lot of those things, it's a lot of suffering going on. It'll be a lot of suffering and things going on. Now, Leviathan, like I said, I don't want to recap too far back, but Leviathan, I talked about him in verse 41 as a crocodile, a sea monster. And the reason we said a sea monster, something that dwelt in the sea, like the Loch Ness Monster or whatever, the sea has always been mysterious. It's always been where you don't know what can rise out of the sea. The depths of the monsters are, the people were afraid of the sea during that time. The sea was a sign of the unknown. That's where the fish that swallowed Jonah was at. You watch the Discovery Channel, any of these channels, Jacques Cousteau or whatever, with the sea, it's so unknown. And God created all that. He was trying to show Job the vastness of that. That there are whales, there are animals that live so far down in the sea that they just discovered some type of whale last year sometime. There's so much in the sea that we don't even know what's down there. It's a place of the unknown. That's why in Revelation they think that's what the abyss is, the abyssos, where it comes, something comes out of the abyss, where this comes from the sea, because the sea monsters or the sea creatures wasn't controllable. You couldn't handle a sea monster. Now, television and all these things have it to where you could control it. You can heal this and you can do all these things. It's to remove your mind from reality and gave you a sense with modern technology and modern weaponry or whatever. Even the little children don't have a sense of danger. They don't have a sense really of what's right and wrong. They don't have a sense of what's sexually immoral. We sit there and watch sitcoms and different movies and things where the people are not married. They're living in fornications or whatever. A lot of us can't stay with a partner long. We can't stay married long. We dress different. So all of that is the world, and that's part of the Levitical Leviathan system of Leviathan that's pulling us down. The whole world and the things in the world is pulling us down unless we've been indwelt by Jesus Christ, bringing us into his world and his way of thinking, and helping us to realize, as I said, you was noticed that realize that you've been wrong, and that all of this time God gives you a second chance at life, a new chance at life, to correct those wrongs and start dying to self and living for him. So they pictured Leviathan as a great dragon, that great dragon that only Jesus Christ, only God can defeat. So we started with Isaiah 27 chapter in the first verse, where it was Jesus Christ, it was God that defeated Leviathan. And all throughout the Bible, it's only God that defeats the devil. We can't defeat the devil. We're no longer, due to television in the world and a lot of preachers and false teachers and things, we're no longer fear or reverence the devil. We don't respect the devil. If you don't have a healthy respect for your enemy, you have a problem. And he was trying to bring this ferocity up on Job to have this healthy respect for Satan, and to be awed at this, that this is a created creature that God had created that Job couldn't harness or do anything with. And so if you can't do anything with the devil, how can you ask to have counsel with God or stand to God and tell God you want to talk to him? Why are you suffering the way you're going through? Why are you going through the things you go through in life, and that God isn't fair or whatever, and that why this is happening to you or whatever? And so he came up on Job and backed Job, humbled Job down to where Job seen that he should be in submission, and that we should be submitted to God. And I'll preach about it Saturday, that only the one person that was perfect, that did that righteous, was different from Job. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he suffered worse than Job did, but he didn't complain. Job was murmuring and complaining and wanting conference with God, but Jesus said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." So Satan is pictured as this great dragon, and that's where dragons come from in the Bible. He talks about being a fire-breathing dragon. He talks the great dragon, the twisted and the piercing serpent. All of those are analogies or metaphors and names for Satan, the devil. We see that Satan was the dragon. Satan was the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden. Throughout the book of Revelation, in Genesis 37 and 9, when Joseph dreams about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all bow down to him, Revelation 12 and 1 borrows from that vision to help us understand that the true church has its roots in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, that we go all the way back there. You hear a lot of people following Revelations, but you can't understand Revelations unless you understand Genesis. That when Joseph had that dream about the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him, it was because Joseph was a godly being. He was a godly young man or whatever. That was his whole family, and the family felt very indignant at Joseph for saying that all that was to bow down to him or whatever. But if you start walking in the righteousness of God, God places all of your enemy under your feet. He places you in authority. He makes you the head and not the tail. He starts to defeat the enemies. He wants the glory in you. He wants you to bring glory to him. That's why when good things happen to you and then bad things happen to you, you got to find out what you're doing or why is God doing this to you. Job didn't approach it the right way, but God gave him all that stuff. He realized God gave it all to him, but why had God taken it away? He never explained that to Job. I don't know, it could have been because Job didn't approach him the right way, so he came down on Job to humble Job and give Job a better understanding that he didn't have a right to call God on the carpet and ask God why this happening to him and why they happening to somebody else and why did he lose his children and everything. So in Revelation we see where God was protecting the church from that dragon, the woman. You read, I don't know how many of y'all read it since I told you about it, Revelations 12 and 13, where the woman gave birth to the children, but she fled into the wilderness, which was the world. And that's why when you start thinking rightly and in a godly way, God starts to send other people and send advice to help you and get you, protect you and keep you, to strengthen you. And that's why I say fellowshipping with the saints, fellowshipping with other believers strengthens you, and you see that you're not the only one, but there's entails a lot of suffering and a lot of problems to the children of God. And that symbolically, God has to slay the dragons in your life. He has to defeat the Satans in your life. So you have to die to self, die to your way of living, your way of thinking or whatever. So as this chapter 12 of Revelation unfolds, it takes up the rebellion of Hiel, who became Satan, this dragon, this beast that became Satan, and Jesus Christ, who was born of a woman, and that we find the dragon keep trying to kill or destroy the children of this woman. And that was a picture of the church, of the people of the church that were born again. That's when your problems happen. A lot of things, and you know, in these religions, these prosperity religions, make it look like that's when all the fun starts, when you come to church or whatever. Well, that's when all the rough stuff starts. It takes real men and real women to follow God. Now, in the church, if you're not converted and you're not seeing it as God's showing you, it could be your worst enemy to come in the church and not be true to yourself and not be true to God. You can end up in a worse condition, because judgment does start at the house of God. And that's why a lot of people in the church that are having problems or whatever, it's just that because they're not true to themselves and they're not true to God. And then, so that means that they're not true to their fellow man. But in the church, that's when a lot of your sufferings will start coming. That's when a lot of your hardships and things will come. But the spirit within you that's looking to God in faith, it loves that God's bringing them through each and every one of those challenges. And a lot of time the challenges get stronger and stronger according to whether you overcoming them. And according to whether you pass in those tests, God progresses the weight of the trials of the suffering that you go through, because all those things glorify God. It brings God glory for you as a child of God to be enduring and overcoming while somebody is always fighting against you, persecuting you, saying all manner of evil against you or whatever. As we was talking earlier about the young lady, I say, well, she was a good worker at churches, or she did good work or whatever. You had said she had gotten a home from a mother, a grandmother or someone, and had her children or whatever, because she was really a good person. Now, she had her hard times or whatever, but you realize that she was good, and that it was you, and that it was these other things, and that you have good things to say. So when we start seeing that my life, that it was me and that God was there all the time trying to open my eyes, but I just wasn't doing right. It's a lot of times we see that, you know, liars, and that's one of the most common things in the church is liars. That's where you can find more of the liars that are in church. It's more liars in church than you really want to believe. Because it's based upon pride, and Satan is the father of all those that are proud. And that's what people get in the church. Proud people are in the church, and that's why Satan's angels turns into ministers of light. But those in the church has to overcome by the blood of the word of their testimony. In verse 7 to 12, the narrative digresses somewhat, showing us something yet to occur. A war in heaven between Satan and his demons and Michael and the angels. What doing this war is when Satan is thrown from heaven, when Michael, the archangel, throws Satan out of heaven, throws him to the earth. to earth. And it's Jesus said, I've seen Satan fall like lightning to earth. Beware the inhabitants on the earth, because Satan has come down unto you. And I told you, Satan is a worldwide spirit. It's a political system. It's a religious system that comes down and it inhabits man. It's about principalities and powers. That's why God sets up leaders and puts down leaders. There's false leaders in churches. There's false leaders in government. There's false leaders in households and in families and everything. So, you know, like you say, your spouses or your children or whatever, there's always Satan, though Satan tries to control whom he may. Satan enters those who allow him, who allow that disposition or characteristic. But you know, it's hard to go through a day, and it's a lot of time, just like today, several different times, with my phraseology and words, I had to watch, else a lie, I would have been lying about something, I could have lied about this, I could have did these things. Those are the struggles that children of God have. Children of God have struggles with being good to others, not thinking about self. Children of God has these struggles consistently. That's what God wants us to see and wanted Job to see, that without submission or humbling ourselves under God, we can't resist Satan. Because when we're doing all this trying to be good, Satan is right there. And so you make the wrong move, and now you glorify Satan, and you don't know it's Satan that's working through you. And as like on the devil's advocate, now you didn't win in this direction, but what Satan did is make you subject to vanity. You subject to vain living, wanting what people think about you, worried about how people think about you instead of what God knows about you. You living in ways that you shouldn't live. And you persecuting some of those in the church or whatever. There's those that are being persecuted or talked about in the church that are God-fearing people or whatever, but since you're not going along with their religion and what they're doing, they're getting you to talk about Islam. They're getting you to condemn the Catholics. They're getting you to condemn other religions or whatever. I can understand if you have a personal thing where it depends on you to say what's right or wrong or whatever, but it's not up to me to go out pointing out devils in the world and condemning and judging everybody in the world. Jesus didn't do that with the other religions. He allowed them, if they was a devil, he allowed you to be a devil. That may help someone else because you're declaring the word of God. So we don't go around talking about what other religions are doing or whatever. We protect the children of God, and that issue came to the forefront with the mask and with the pandemic. There's a lot of people who have been on the wrong side of this religiously with the pandemic, and Satan has come to bear in their lives. And God has to come back and straighten us out. So let me get to something here about the spiritual mark of the beast, John 8:42-45. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So spiritually, Satan has been our father. I used to lie a good bit, and I was pretty good at it when I was working. So we see here of the power that Satan can have over you. And you're not aware that this is your death. This is bringing you to death. But when you lose from these things, and that's why I was telling them younger, that when Satan don't want the younger people to get loose or to lose their grip with the younger people or whatever, because a younger person can do more. He can have more strength. He's in contact with other people. So as I was telling my nephew there just now, that if he was to begin to get strong in the church or get strong in God or whatever, things would come up against him, but he could reach out to many more people than we could. He can do much more in the church, and he could accomplish much more than, but he would have to understand and know scripture, because the younger people are not understanding the scriptures about the elders of the church that they learn from the older people, and about honoring their parents, and that the older people, the advice that older people are giving them is to help prosper them, to help get them further, and that we are all in this together, and we have to grow up strong. And that's what I look at. He says in the book of Malachi, he was sent the spirit of John, he was sent the spirit of Elijah, which is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers or whatever. And that's no better feeling that I have than to see my brother in the church and his son bringing him to church. And then I say, well, you could sit over there. And he said, no, I want to sit here and listen at this or whatever. See, so he's chosen the good thing. But that's what the church is about family, and it's about turning around that years ago, the time that we are squandered, now we can, God's going to give us that time back. That time back with your relatives, that time back to learn of him, that time back to prosper in the Lord, that time back to be fruitful and to walk in his way and to develop the right characters. You've walked on the wrong side of the road, and you know the consequences and some of the things happen from walking on that wrong side of the road. But if we walk on the good side of the road, that's what we want to start seeing. What's happening when we're walking on the good side of the road, and how can we be strengthened in Christ? So we know that the people around us, the fellowship that we have is right. Now also, what that also helps you though is, you notice some of the people in the church that's not right, or what's going on with them. So, as the preachers, the right preachers would tell you, now, son, I can't vouch for safe for everybody in the church. That might be a crook also. I might not be pointing him out, but you might also watch him. You might not follow him also, you know, because there are crooks in the church. You don't let nobody, that's why Jesus showed you he had to chase the crooks out the church. And the crooks are not easy to leave out the church. It's just like a snake in the bushes. It's hard to get him out of the bush. Sometimes you have to burn the bushes down to get him out the jungle. Because as long as he's in there hidden, he's going to stay there still looking, and he will bite you too. He has a lot of venom in him, and that's Satan. Satan will bite you. He's like a roaring lion. And he's most lethal when he's hurt, when something's hurt him or challenged him, has challenged his pride, has challenged his authority, has challenged his faith. And that's what's going on in the world. That's the sword. He says in Isaiah 27:1, he used his mighty sword to chop Leviathan up. So what you have to do is use the word of God on him. That's the only way to defeat the devil, is the word of God. That's what Jesus used on him, was the word of God. So you have to know the word of God and understand the word of God, because he's going to try to use the word with you. He's going to come up to you, brother this and all these other things or whatever. But you watch him, because the reason he's able to come to you in sheep's clothing is he's done skinned some gullible sheep somewhere and put on his clothing. That sheep that he, the clothing he's coming in was a naive sheep that didn't see him coming, you know, that didn't bust him in the head, that didn't make him get back. You have to be able to bag Satan off you, or he'll take your life from you. The sheep that the wolf always get is the one that's on the fringe, is on the end, on the outside, that are not around the others, that are weaker, that are older, that are more vulnerable. That's why God told Saul to destroy Amalek, because Amalek preyed on the old and the weak and the vulnerable. That's what the mega churches do. They prey on the weaker members of the body of Christ. That's telling them to send their money because they got a contact point. This is your contact point about healing and all these other things. They make it sound so good, but what they're doing is fleecing the sheep. They're fleecing the sheep, and there will be a lot of sheep fleeced. It's going to be a lot of them, and you always will have those that are not capable of holding the blessings that God gives to them. They're not able to hold the money, the homes, the cars, the positions in life that God gives them because they are not studying or they're not strong in God's word, so they end up as examples for others not to follow. You have to study God's word and you have to really live God's word. We already have its mark placed on us in our lifetime, so we have to start having God's word wash those marks and those characteristics away. We're sanctified by his word. His word cleanses up. That's why a lot of people say, well, man, going to church, you start looking different. You're seeing different. You're not weighted down. You know, you can tell when someone is spiritually weighted down and when the Spirit of God does have them because it's a certain joy, it's a certain happiness, and it's a certain peace. And, you know, you can tell when somebody's peace is being shaken. That is exactly what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking to them about spiritually. He says he knew that Satan was the spiritual father of these people because they carried his mark with them. They reacted to him and each other. Our problem is not worried about taking on Satan's mark. We already have that because we're all born to die. We're all condemned. But what we have to do is being born again and then taking God's mark upon us, letting God mark us, letting God start developing his character, his likeness, and his image. That's putting on Christ. That's being clothed by him, covered by the blood. That's how they overcame. If you look in the 12th chapter, I tell you of Revelation, they overcame Satan by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So you start putting on Christ and pulling off self, pulling off the ways and things of the world. Our concern is to control and overcome it because now God is our Father. And that's why I told you about that Our Father prayer. That's a prayer that he told his disciples to pray. He said, when you pray. But notice he also told them when they enter into their prayer closet to pray that prayer or whatever. I think you should pray that now. And Sister Harris or something was telling me about that prayer. My mother told me about that prayer. But then that prayer, I noticed that prayer is best early in the morning. When you first get started in the day, you start with that prayer about your daily bread and protecting you. And then you can pray another prayer at the end of the day. So because you have to have an arsenal of prayer. If he say pray always, you should all get used to talking to God. But everybody can't pray the Our Father prayer because God is not everybody's father. It's got some children of the devil out there. You done met some demons out there. I know you done met a lot of devils out there. It's got a lot of good-looking devils out there, too. You talking about good-looking, male and female. You talking about the devil, though. You from right there and get hooked up with them, you realize and you start telling everybody, man, look, don't you do this, don't you do that. It is our worshipful duty to work with God to strive to break free of that foul spirit that's enslaving us. Satan enslaves us. Galatians 5:20. It says, but when you followed your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce evil results, impure thoughts, eagerness for lust for pleasure, idolatry, spiritualism, that is encouraging the activity of demons in your life. So what a lot of the activities and things you do, and like I said, this is not that kind of church or whatever where I'm going to say the devil is in the alcohol because, you know, in the Bible it tells you about imbibing and taking alcohol. Jesus made the best wine that it was. They say, man, you've been holding back on us. This is the best wine we've had all night. That was the wine Jesus and his disciples made. But, he says, be full of the Spirit. But Paul did tell Timothy to drink a little wine for his often for his infirmities for his stomach's sake. But we know we shouldn't be drunk with wine. So we see food and drink doesn't commend us to God, and so that's where the focus of the preaching and teaching is. You might have to break that habit. You know, there are habits you get hold to, and a lot of these people are teaching, but sometimes it's harder to use some of this other stuff to try to break a smoking habit or break a alcohol habit or whatever. That's why they have a lot of these rehab centers, and they don't work because they're coming from a point of view or whatever of overcoming the body, and the body, once the body, you start robbing from the body or taking something from the body that the body likes, the body will fight back with all its might and all its power. You don't believe that, you try dieting if you want to. It's a lot of times I eat a little Saturday, eat a little something for dinner and say, it's 5 o'clock and I'm just going to eat this or that. Yeah, let me fool myself or whatever. That willpower sometimes, 7, 8 o'clock at 9 or 10 o'clock, you up rumbling the pots or cooking or trying to find something that stomach, and you know, there's a way with diabetes, I don't want to explain it or whatever. But the body, if you don't diet right, that's why the doctors and the nutritionists tell you about dieting or whatever, because the body will start plotting on you or whatever. He says, now I know he's going to miss breakfast or he's not going to do this. The body will start storing fat. The body will store nutrients to eat because psychologically you then start starving yourself at different times. That's why a lot of times the people say it's better to eat several smaller meals than those larger meals or whatever, because there's wisdom to all things. So the rehab centers, I'm not against that. There are good programs in the world, and the government is trying a lot of them, but they're all physical. I'm glad they opened up this mental thing with the mental patients right there on Florida Boulevard. I'm glad there are some situations that they shouldn't send the police to, that they should send someone else to. So not that the government is working against you. The government is trying to do its best, but you have corrupt people into the government or whatever, so you might get some police out there that don't know or believe in all this, and he had his religion, he'll kill him right there or handle it a different way or whatever. But so that's why I say I'm not speaking against the world, and I vote and I hope that a lot of the programs work out or whatever. But we have to learn to be spiritually dependent upon God, to trust in Him, and that believe that healing comes from God. It may come through a doctor. I go to the doctor. I've been to a doctor a lot of times this week, and I got to go again tomorrow. But it may come through that doctor, but those counselors, those are not saying that those aren't people that God didn't give knowledge to heal or whatever, but it's like my insurance man or whatever. He coughing and going on there the day when he came to collect my insurance, the life insurance and the house insurance or whatever. And I said, well, you had your shot. He said, no. I said, well, don't get too close up on me. He already had COVID one time. And I'd say, if you're not thinking about his children or whatever, you kind of get back or whatever, and you're not reaching the check or whatever, because that's your problem. I don't want to get into health issues to discuss all these with you, because I don't have that time to waste or whatever. But my doctor, when I went to pulmonary doctor for my lung and my shortness of breath, do you know we talked about the virus and the advantages of it and this and all that for about 20 or 30 minutes, nothing about my health, anything, but about the governor and the government and what's right or whatever, because I believe and trust that he had knowledgeable information. But just my insurance man standing up there coughing over by me, talking about, I think I'll wait and see or whatever. Yeah, I might just visit you at your funeral too. I might preach it for you. But anyhow, there are things in this world that dulls our hearing, the different voices and things. So you have to make these choices of who you're hearing or what you're hearing and what brings you to God and what have enslaved you or entrapping you. That's why you pray to God. And a lot of times she comes in and she says, well, Pastor, I really got something. That's just what I was asking. If you trust and believe in God enough, you would be praying for me, that God is praying, that God is working on me to say something to you to help you for what you needed to hear. That's why the pastor always asking you to pray for him, because I know you, if you got here today, I said, well, hold on, we got to wait till Sister Harris get here or whatever, because she's coming, even if they have her blocked in, she's going to walk, run along the sidewalk and come through the dirt in the rain or whatever, because she thinks God has given me something to say that might help her. That's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So as you hunger for God's word, not forsaking the fellowship of his word, continually listening for God, that God starts to help you and strengthens you. I know some of the older people in here now piling up so much money or whatever and different things. And I know my brother right there, he said years ago, he said, well, one of his friends, he gone now. But he said, well, that church about tithes and offerings or whatever. But do you know that's one of the first things him and Sister Harris do when they get their checks now is they tithe and offer. Because they know that if you give to God, that's what Job realized. The monstrosities and things in this life, God is protecting you by doing what he told you to do. But Job was trying to say, now I paid tithe, I give to God, I've helped the poor, I did all this, I know the problem is not there. Okay, and he was right about that, and God made that statement at the beginning. Because he says there's none like Job, and he was bragging on Job. What Job didn't realize, you can't tell me how to do this. I can take your children's life away, and you yet still serve me. You know, with those children, the reason he didn't give him seven more children, I mean, double the children, is your children never die if they're in God, right? God gives eternal life. So though they were dead, they're not like animals that he gave him double the animals. If they are going to live, if you have eternal life, even though a lot of those sheep I told you that were fleeced, that were naive, that died in Christ or whatever, they do have life. They do have eternal life. They might have not been smart enough to make it through here on earth, but they do have eternal life. So Job would see those children again. So God only gave him seven sons and three daughters. That doubled the amount of sons and daughters he had. Even if you do wrong, you're still a child of God. That's what I say, we all do wrong. But he's trying to get us to be overcomers and to be able to glorify him here and to pull off this world. It would be much better if you pull off the things of the world and become what God wants you to become and not in bondage to this world. That you be a man over your family. That you be a man at the church. That you be a man in the world that other men look up to. And did you notice that the woman in Proverbs, her husband would sit at the gate and he was respected and she was respected? But there are a lot of men that you don't respect nowadays, that a lot of other men don't respect, because they're not real men. That's why God says you're less than an infidel if you can't run your own home. You shouldn't try running the church of God. All these things binds us. The things the world does binds us. That's because on television they show the man as a bumbling idiot, like Everybody Loves Raymond and Bill Cosby show and all that there. And Farrah Huskovel was running all that, and Bill Cosby was a bumbling idiot, right? Even though he was a doctor, Farrah Huskovel was the man there, whatever. But see, God had put man there, and that should be the example, and that's why God had put man in the church. But now we're reversing the roles. All of that is Leviathan, because now we're having the women preachers and the women doing these things or whatever, the feminist movement taking over. Because why? God had told man what to do, but the woman had her desire was to control the man. That was her desire. But if it's not a godly desire, not the right desire, it's perverted and God comes up against a woman. So, like I said, we have a lot of things to untie. And if God's blessing that woman or blessing that man or blessing that, now you could become, be given to vanity because now you think God is working with you, you become self-righteous or whatever. Now you start talking down to your husband or talking down to your wife or talking down to your children or talking down to your parents or whatever, because it's like the God told the Pharisees, he says, you call it Korban, and you, by your traditions, you make null the commandments of God. Well, what the Pharisees was doing was, well, my money is dedicated to God. This is tithes and offering. I'm going to give this to the church or whatever. Okay? But here your children are doing without. Here your family needs help. Your mother needs help. Your parents need help with this and that there. And you putting it all in the church. You're saying this is dedicated to God because you living in some mega church that you want to look good in to everybody else, that you putting in this and you driving this type of car. Vanity and pride has hold to you. So you need to find out. He didn't say they shouldn't have did that. I think I preached on the weightier matters of the law. He said you should pay tithes and offerings. These things you should do. But now you got to sacrifice. You got to do like and bring your parents to church. You got to help your parents. You need to do all. In other words, you got to sacrifice in this area. Mercy and gentleness and love you should have did and not done the other. In other words, yeah, you had to do those things, but you had to sacrifice somewhere else. It's about sacrificing. That's why I say sometimes you're going to suffer. You'll have to sacrifice and make, but don't short God. Job didn't short God. Job had done all those things, and Job couldn't rationalize that, okay, God's free to make you live this way now. So he took his children, probably took that wife away that was trying to make him curse God and die. But now, you can't tell God how to run the world. You have to submit and humble yourself, and whatever happened, don't complain, don't murmur. God is God. So whatever happens, you're not complaining. It's all from God. God is in charge. These are the tentacles of the monster, that Leviathan, that's pulling us down. We're not seeing God in everything. God is in everything, but God does have a devil. He does have a satanic influence that he uses as an instrument to tame his children. We see here, and the last thing I'll be able to get to, I think. I'm glad Patricia's phone is recording, because I think Stacy's phone knocked mine off unless she called me or texted me or something. I had it in one of these, and I think it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Worse, listen at this one. Satan's rule. You remember I told you Satan is the god of this world. Everything is going on in this world, so we have to be in the world and not of the world. He's calling us out of the world. 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king. So that's what happened with God. With Saul, was the same thing that happened with Satan. It's the same thing I'm telling y'all, is that watch self. When you start getting compliments and when you start getting on top, be not high-minded or hearty or high-spirited in such a way that you overlook the word of God. You have to know the whole word of God, because lawlessness is rebellion, and you rejecting the word of God at any point, those transgressions require their just recompense or reward. There are consequences that happen to it. So there are consequences that happen to us that are in the church when we're rejecting God's word, or we're not following God's law. Now, that's not legally, because by grace are we saved. We walk in by faith. So we're telling God that we trust Him and we have faith in Him, but we lying to Him, we robbing Him, we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and we know to do these things because we're sitting there hearing His word, but we're not doing His word. We're not a doer of the word. So you're going to be whipped with much worse punishment because you know to do right, but you're not doing that which is right. So judgment begins with those within the church. Remember I said judgment begins in the church of God first, with the church of God. 2 Thessalonians 5 through 10. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. This is positive proof of the righteous judgment of God, a sign of His fair verdict. That's what Job was looking for a fair verdict. Now, God did punish His friends and told them if Job didn't pray for them, that He would destroy them. Job prayed for them, and everybody gave Job a piece of money, and it was all so right that they lined up with the word of God, because the friends wasn't saying that which was right about Job, and I mean which was right about God. And they have those in church that are not doing that which is right about God, even though they're fooling their neighbors, their wives, or their husbands, or other people, that they're in the church, and that's a sign in them that they're doing right, but they don't realize that, no, they ain't doing right. They're just as big as in the church, and they shouldn't be there. Or they robbing God, and they're not doing it, and that's why they're having the problems they're having. He says, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom. The reason He does this is like the Catholics talk about, what is this, purgatory or something, where you have to pay for your sins, or you make restitution or whatever. Let me not get tied up in that, though. For which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with distress those who distress you. He's paying back those that had troubled you, all those who had done you wrong. He takes vengeance. He's a God. So He is going to pay them back with stress and distress, those who distress you, and to give relief to you who are also distressed us, give relief to you who are so distressed to us as well, when the Lord is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in a flaming fire, dealing out full and complete vengeance to those who do not seek to know God. Listen at that now. That's 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 5 through 8. He's going to deal out judgment on the Leviathans, on those that are wicked, that those that don't seek to come to church, those that don't try to know God, those that are not trying to learn of God. That's a group that He's going to judge and punish. But listen, there's a second group. He says, and to those who ignore and refuse to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by choosing not to respond to Him. In other words, you know what the gospel says. You know what the word of God says do, but you're not doing it. You're making an excuse why you're not doing what you committed yourself to do. There shouldn't be an excuse, because He enables us. You remember I told you, you can't beat Leviathan, you can't beat the devil. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that you can't do, that you don't know how to, that you know you should do, well, you know it's right to do this, do that which is right and suffer the consequences. Do that which is right. That's why I say, well, I was struggling today. It's a lot of things come up, and it's just human nature to try to make an excuse or lie about it and get around it and not face it. But sometimes you have to face the consequences. Sometimes you have to look bad. Sometimes you have to be humiliated or suffer. But you have to be truthful to yourself and to God. That kills the old man. That crucifies what you are, who you are. That's dying to self. What you want to do, you don't do. Because the Spirit leads you and guides you into the truth. Because I know Joseph ran away from Potiphar's. He says, I can't do this and sin against God. But it's a lot of people that would have said, well, okay, well, I'm going to have this woman, then I'll repent later on, I'm going to go back or whatever. No, you have to do what you know is right. Always do that which is right, which is the Spirit is leading you. There is no excuse. You will come up with an excuse. That's what self is. Self will make a good excuse for why you didn't do it, and that's the devil. That's sin. Making those excuses. There is no excuse. He says, who obey not the gospel, these people will pay the penalty and endure the punishment of everlasting destruction, banished from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day. That is, glorified through the changed lives of those who have accepted Him as Savior and have been set apart for His purpose, and to be marveled at among those who believe. Now, I know it looked it bad because the people are saying there's some people over here, King. These three people didn't bow down to you. It looks bad, everybody pointing and say they didn't bow down, but he says, look, King, you're running this government, and I work in this government. And I do right as long as, you know, it's right, it's moral before God, but the judgment is we can't worship man. Satan has come and says, all this I'll give to you because it's been delivered unto me if you would bow down and worship me. But they says, we not go bow. We don't even have to think about this. You're going to have to throw us in the fire. We can't worship you. We can't give you that which belongs to God. If you go out and you say, well, man, that drugs look good, or that food look good, or this look good, or whatever, and it blows here, you robbing that person to satisfy a lust, a fleshly lust, a fleshly endeavor. If you're going to take God's money and spend it on something to consume it up on your own lust, what's going to happen when you pray to God? He's not going to answer your prayer because the things you're getting, you using it for the things of this world and not for the kingdom of God. So you didn't went and prayed to God, and He's given you these things? Well, only because He allowed you to store up wrath for the day of wrath. It serves to further destroy you. That's why He created Pharaoh. He told him He allowed Pharaoh to do those things because he was going to get glory by destroying Pharaoh. A lot of times you give a person enough rope to hang themselves. So God keeps being good, keeps blessing us, and we keep making excuses and why we're not doing this and why we're not doing it. And God seems like He's just forgiving and He just forgets it and He forgives and He forgets. But what happens one day, God's going to call you on the carpet for that because every sin and transgression brings about its just recompense or reward. So this world is a leviathan. Everything in this world can trap you. That's why with prayer and supplications, your meditation should be on God day in and day out. Prayer and supplications, you always bring every thought into captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. Is it right to do this? Is it right to do that? And in the least, in the smallest of things, you will get to the point where that becomes a natural part of your character. You'll be like the children of Israel. You remember I told you about the Hebrew boys? What they said, they didn't have to waste time praying about that. We know that that's the right thing to do. Why should we ask God about something we already know the answer to? The only people that ask God about something they know the answer to is they want an excuse to do something else that they want to do that they know they should do. So the reason you ask it, you want somebody to okay your wrong or okay what you're doing to make you feel good. Well, yeah, you had to do that, man. You had to do it. You feel better when somebody around you say, yeah, man, you ain't had no other choice. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You did. But that's the devil talk. We're so accustomed to listening at the devil. that to now we don't know when he's just sitting on our shoulder. He can leave us because we didn't become the devil. He don't have to use you anymore because you part of his army now. He didn't recruit you. You running around there trying to mess other people up. That's what Jesus was saying. You travel land and sea to proselytize others, and you make one sevenfold the trial of hell than you are. In other words, you didn't got him into that religion, and he worse than you is now. We have to be careful because Satan makes us think he don't exist. Satan makes us think he doesn't have power, that he's weak. And that's crippling right there. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word.